Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here for Family Talk. Where can you go to receive support and advice for you and your family? Family Talk interacts with millions of people every day with inspiring advice and tips from Dr. James Dobson on what matters to you the most. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our Facebook page will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Join us each day for the latest broadcast, resources, and inspiration. Nowhere else can you hear a thought of the day from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special message before you say goodnight. Now, you can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. So please take the time to visit us and become part of our online community at facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Today on Family Talk.
Any student going off to college faces the challenge of tougher academic expectations coupled with the blending in with students from other cultures and parts of the country. But Christian college and university students face another obstacle, opposition to the biblical worldview by which their lives have been formed. Today on Family Talk, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson is joined once again in studio by two men who understand the difficulty for Christians of staying strong in college. David Wheaton is a pastor and author. He hosts the syndicated weekly radio program called The Christian Worldview. David is the author of the book University of Destruction, Your Game Plan for Spiritual Victory on Campus. He makes his home in Minnesota with his wife, Brody. Regarding Noah Reiner, at the time of this recording, Noah was student body president of Dartmouth College. He has since graduated from Dartmouth and completed his master's degree at Stanford University. Doctor?
Well, as a place to begin, I'd like you all to take us back just a little bit to what we talked about last time about what is typical on a college or university campus. But let's look at the student who graduates from high school, probably close to the top of the class in order to be in Stanford or to be in Dartmouth or some of the other really big schools. What happens with orientation and in the few weeks after? What takes place there? What is that like?
There's two issues here. And I think the first issue can be summed up in the mandatory co-ed dorm. You know, you might think that, well, that's sort of a novel idea, but that sort of sums up, I think, the intent, the motive of the secular university now. They forced incoming freshmen to live in co-ed dorms in a situation with no authority, with young men and young women, a single young man and young woman living in the same floor, sometimes even sharing the same bathrooms. What do you think is going to happen when that occurs? It's an environment they're creating for sexual morality, for drunkenness, for drug use, because behind that, what they want to do is break you down morally so that you will be more susceptible to the second piece, the ideological breakdown later.
Because you see that as a conscious plan.
Oh, yes. That's why I say that really typifies what the secular university is about. They do that on purpose because they know once they break you down morally, your theology or your philosophy always follows your morality. So once they break you down there, they got you in the classroom.
What in the world is the impact of that on these kids that come out of protected homes and all of a sudden there they are?
Well, it's a horrific impact. As many as 50% of Christian students will say they've lost their faith after 4 years in college. It's truly astounding. So the impact is awful. But I also think that this is all done on purpose. I think that the college campus today, the secular college campus, is the most radical aspect of our society. Whatever a biblical standard is, let's say moral purity, that's a biblical standard. On college campuses, it's going to be taken to the opposite extreme. They're going to glamorize, they're going to encourage, and maybe you've seen some of this at Dartmouth, they're going to encourage homosexuality. They're going to get as far away from that biblical standard as possible.
They not only disagree with the biblical standard, but there's a lot of anger that goes with those who dare to support it.
Well, I think this quote actually sets the battlefield for what professors, what the humanistic ideology is on campus. This is by John Dunphy in The Humanist way back in 1983, but he almost foretold what the battlefield is on college campuses right now. He said this: the classroom must and will become an area of conflict between the old and the new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent in its promise of a world in which the never realized Christian love thy neighbor will finally be realized.
Oh my. Well, that tells you where they want to take us and where they have taken
us. That's exactly right.
And of all the aspects of the culture where that idea or those harmful ideas have taken root, the university is the centerpiece of it, isn't it?
If you want to change a culture, you're going to do it through indoctrinating the young people through the educational system.
Yeah.
It starts in junior high, high school, and it moves right into the big battlefield in college.
That's why I feel sorry for these kids, but you know, with the Lord's help, they can make it. Pick up where we left off here. Comment on what David said.
It's shocking. You quickly come to realize that there's two options for Christians on campuses where worldviews vastly different from their own are dominating. Option one is to kind of seclude yourself into a Christian bubble. Only hang out with your Christian friends. Only go to Christian meetings. And on the other hand, you see students who just become camouflaged into the culture, and there's really no difference, and you can't discern who's a Christian and who's not. So you see both extremes of students who are not engaging the culture, and then those who are in the culture, the campus culture, are falling prey to it. So I believe strongly that Christian students need the preparation to engage the culture in a godly way and to be relevant and to be a part of their campus without submitting to the different values and the
Well, that takes strength, though, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And a strong belief system.
I think there's another key factor here that we haven't brought up yet about why so many say they lose their faith. And they say it themselves, or whether or not it's actually true or not. Well, we believe in the Bible says you can't lose your faith, but your students are saying they've lost their faith. That's a very serious position to be in, to say you've lost your faith. I think there's a big difference between being a professing Christian and being a possessing Christian. And I deal with a whole chapter on this in my book in chapter 4. I was a professing Christian growing up. I would have told anyone who asked me that, oh, yeah, I'm for sure a Christian. But my lifestyle and my thoughts, my motives, and I didn't bear any fruit in my life of really truly being a Christian. And as I went off to college, when I was tested in my faith, that faith didn't stand up. When I was 24 years old, through a circumstances of events, I came to realize that I was a sinner. I was separated from God. I was offending God. And I came to a point of repentance in my life and truly trusted in Christ as my Savior and decided to commit to follow Him as Lord. All of a sudden, when that occurred in my life, I started to face all the same things I faced in college, those three pillars of peril, and then also the three more pillars of peril on the professional tennis tour, fame, fortune, and success. But all of a sudden, I began to overcome all these things. And the big difference was is that I now possess something, the indwelling Holy Spirit, which gave me the power to overcome these things. Previously, as a professor only, I didn't have that power inside of me. That's why I couldn't overcome it. But when I possessed that Holy Spirit and that commitment to follow Christ, that made all the difference in the world.
David, you're speaking to youth groups and to older people, mm-hmm. too, all over the country. Do you find young people want to hear what you're saying here? They want somebody to say, you don't have to follow this path. You don't have to party all the time. You don't have to be sexually engaged in a casual way with all these people. You don't have to use drugs.
No, they definitely – look, young people want to have a great purpose in life. They want to have a vision for what they can be. They want a great cause, and there's no greater cause than being a follower of Christ. And one thing we talk about when I talk to students is, why shouldn't you just go to college and just have as much fun as you want for 4 years? I mean, you can come back to your faith later. I mean, that's the question. That's the question you get all the time. And the answer to that question is, well, we can talk about the consequences of sin in college and so forth, but when I tell students that the reason they should be an overcomer in college is because they love God and want to please Him more than they want to please themselves, this resonates. This gives them a cause that they want to follow after in college.
Absolutely. What if you were married and had children now? Let's suppose they're in their teen years. What are you going to say? You know what they're going into. And by the time your kids get there, it'll probably be even worse than it is now because the drift is in the wrong direction. What would you say?
I'd tell them they only have one option for going to college, and that's to be a missionary wherever they go. and that their approach to college is not one of, I hope to get by and I hope that I'll be able to cling to my faith when I leave this school, but that they need to be prepared to be missionaries and trained. Books like David's here. This is the kind of stuff that students need to read.
The University of Destruction is the title of the book that you're talking about. Noah, you talked about two different approaches that students can take. One of them is to just kind of be as much like the non-Christian world as possible and kind of hide what you really believe inside. And the other is to surround yourself with as many Christian support groups and people and pastors as you can. You took the latter. And I'm sure you would recommend that.
I think that what God has called us to do, what Jesus commands us, is the Great Commission, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And that I see places like Dartmouth, Stanford, these elite colleges and universities that are some of the most unchurched places on earth. I have friends who ask me if I've ever met an evangelical Christian. I have friends who, after giving my speech that was so stirring, the students, it troubled so many people, the main response was not to defend my ideas, because people weren't even ready for that. People just had to know that I'm a human. Like, wow, this person who's fairly intelligent, they go to this intelligent school, believes in God, believes in Jesus Christ as our Savior. They're shocked by that.
Did you ever have a professor really take you on and try to embarrass you?
The topics of religion and faith have definitely come up in class, and I've taken courses where professors have challenged prophecy and challenged the authority of the Bible, and I've been able to stand up and say various things. It's hard, though. It's hard to.
Would you recommend that you just keep your mouth shut, or that you take these guys on? I mean,
absolutely,
they tower over you in experience and maybe in intelligence. Speaking of the class as a whole, and you're there because he or she apparently knows more than you do, and they're there to teach you. So, how do you, as a 21-year-old, take on this PhD in philosophy or whatever it happens to be? That's a tough assignment.
It is a tough assignment, and being a Christian student is about twice as much work as being any other sort of student, because you have to both learn the material for the class and you have to learn a Christian perspective on that same material. So it's up to the student to do a lot of homework, and these are ways that parents can prepare their students before they even get to college. I went to Dr. David Noble's ministry, The Summit.
Did you really? You know, I was singing about that a minute ago when we were talking about preparing students. That ministry is right here in Colorado Springs, and it's called a Summit Ministry. And that's the purpose of it, is to get you ready for that experience and to give you answers to those attacks on Christian faith that you're going to experience.
It's a good start. The Summit is a great start. And it has to be started. There has to be more preparation than that. Parents have to take it on a long time before their students are 17 and 18 years old.
For those who didn't hear the broadcast last time, Noah shared the experience that really brought him here, giving a speech as the president of the student body at Dartmouth and talking about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's about the best example of defending what you believe that I've ever heard. Because that would have been so scary. I'm not sure, Noah, that I would have been able to do it. Not when I was in college. Maybe in graduate school I would, but not when I was in college. And that's what you have to be able to do. You got to prepare yourself for that.
Absolutely.
1 Peter 5:8-9. How's this for sending a student off to school? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So you're going to experience something that's going to be very difficult for you there if you're trying to hold on to your faith. The easiest thing is to go along with the crowd and have the fun that they're talking about. But to resist it is going to be difficult. All right, let me expand the question that I ask you. You've got that 18-year-old, and he or she's looking for a school to go to. Would you choose a Christian school or a secular university?
It depends on their spiritual GPA. Not your academic GPA, but your spiritual GPA. If that student interacts with God very well, G. If that student can choose his peers very well, P. If that student knows how to utilize his authorities, A. If that student has a good spiritual GPA, they can and should go to any college they want to go to, Stanford, Dartmouth. We need to have students not
but
just survive.
But if they don't, and they're a little weak at that point,
They should not go to an elite secular college. They should go to a college, maybe live at home, maybe take a year off until they're stronger in their faith, maybe go into the military, maybe do something that gives them a little time to develop and mature in their faith so they're ready to take on that onslaught when they go.
Yeah, why get them into Sodom and Gomorrah?
It's not worth their
soul.
They
might not get out of there.
It's not worth their soul.
So you've got to know what you're dealing with. David, my bias, for what it's worth, and I've stated this and it's been quoted widely, I would choose the Christian school because of the things that you just mentioned. Our son graduated from Biola University out in California, and our daughter from Azusa Pacific, two very fine Christian schools. I graduated from what is now Point Loma. So did Shirley. It's where we met. You know, the chances of meeting somebody who shares your faith is greater. And those professors that I had in college just made an unbelievable contribution to me. Then when I went on into graduate school and ran into some of the things we're talking about here, I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be right for everybody. Noah, I respect the reasons you went there. You were strong enough to do it. Noah, you survived there, but some people would not.
Absolutely. I think it goes back to calling, and that some things that have been said here just show that there's no such thing as a safe college and a dangerous college. Wherever you go, you need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, you need to be victorious and with an eye to glorifying God.
Just occurs to me that we need to ask our listeners to be in prayer for these young people. It is not easy living a Christian life today. Those who don't go to college find Satan there too. In fact, a young man not too long ago wrote a letter home to his mom and dad and said, if you've missed Satan, I can tell you where he's been, because he's been following me around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is enough evil in the world to damn us all. And thank God for his grace and his love and his mercy. But we do need to be in prayer. I would ask for them to pray specifically for those Christian colleges, that the Lord will keep them clean and keep them true to his word, and bless the administration, bless the faculty, and bless the students. And for those young people who have subjected themselves wittingly or unwittingly to some of the evils and wickedness that occur on secular college campuses, pray that the Lord would strengthen the navigators in the Campus Crusade and all the other Christian groups that are there in preserving faith on campus. It does happen, and good things happen on a secular campus. I want to say, Noah, thank you as a student body president at Dartmouth to have the courage to stand up at convocation and share your faith and talk about Jesus Christ and talk about character. I mean, that took incredible character and courage on your part. God is going to bless you and use you for that. You have a wonderful future ahead of you in Christian ministry. I don't know what you'll wind up doing, but you will always be a minister. And you have ministered to all of us through sharing your faith. And for doing it on secular radio and secular television unabashedly, I admire you, my friend, and God go with you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobson. If I could just echo your plea that the listeners pray for college students today, that God would send revival, that lives would be changed, and people would see the gospel.
I hope I live to see that. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in another great awakening day? Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to see the universities exploding with fervor for Jesus Christ? I believe it can happen if we would turn to the Lord in prayer. And David, Thank you for the life you're living, for your effort to be moral. You have been willing to admit that you got into things that embarrass you today, that you wish you hadn't have been exposed to, and have given it to the Lord and repented of it and have written about it and about how others can do likewise in your book, University of Destruction, Your Game Plan for Spiritual Victory on Campus. I would hope that everybody's going back to school in the fall would get a copy of this book and get yourself ready, not just to survive, Noah, as you said.
Yes, sir.
But to witness and to evangelize with others.
Well, it's by God's grace that he rescued me apart from my sin nature. So that's by his grace. It wasn't my own doing. I certainly couldn't do it before I came to that point of repentance in my life. And giving me the Holy Spirit is what has allowed me to be an overcomer all these years. But I want to thank you as well for featuring this issue. This issue is so critical. You hear faith story after faith story of students who go off to college, who get off track, and their lives are adversely affected forever. And on the other hand, you have some who went to college and actually really grew in their faith, and that really affected them positively for the rest of their life. So I want to thank you for featuring this topic, but also just for your ministry here, that for the big impact you have on this country and really the world for Christ. So thank you for that.
A sobering yet also encouraging word of exhortation to parents and to college students brings this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk to a close. You've been listening to part two of a two-part conversation on the theme of staying strong in college. Dr. Dobson's guests have been David Wheaton and Noah Reiner. Noah gained notoriety during his undergraduate days at Dartmouth College, where he was elected president of the student body and earned a reputation as an outspoken Christian who was bold in sharing his faith on a heavily secularized campus. David Wheaton is a former professional tennis star and now the host of the syndicated radio program, The Christian Worldview. He's the author of the book Dr. Dobson referred to a moment ago called University of Destruction, Your Game Plan for Spiritual Victory on Campus. We have a link for this resource on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to take a look at our Facebook page and join the conversation about today's broadcast there. You'll find valuable insights and meaningful dialogue on this subject of staying strong in college when you go to facebook.com/drjamesdobson. If you'd like a copy of today's program coupled with our last broadcast on audio CD, call toll-free 877-732-6825. Again, the toll-free number to call is 877-732-6825. Thanks for remembering that Family Talk is a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening today.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and Executive Director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty University. Man, I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new program, an exciting opportunity for you to better yourself. It's a tremendous educational resource. It's the all-new James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family Studies at Liberty University. Liberty has partnered with renowned psychologist, author, radio show host, family expert, Dr. James C. Dobson, to create the Dobson Center, where you now can study in three different majors, marriage and family, child development, family advocacy, and more, and become even a certified marriage and family relationship coach. That's right. You can go to college at Liberty and learn from Dr. James C. Dobson. He actually teaches video lectures, salted with numerous experts from the field and more. I hope you'll take a moment just to check out these brand new programs of study at Liberty.
Do you want to see what kind of men and women your children will grow up to be? Take a look in the mirror.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
A wise man once said, "The footsteps a child follows are often those that the father thought he covered up." how true that is. Oh, there are facts we can pass on to our children and skills we can teach. But how our children really learn is by watching us and observing our every move, by absorbing what we do and who we are. Someone said values are not taught to kids. They're caught by them. They're picked up routinely through the subtle influences of simply being together through the day. A poem by Herbert Parker sums it up best. He said, "To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. And as I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say, 4 simple words I can't forget, 4 words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me, I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you." Do you still think what you do as a mother or father doesn't really matter? It does. Believe me, it does.